The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille.
Welcome to Masterclass US Market with me, Giuliana Colangelo. This show has been designed to demystify the US market for Italian wineries through interviews with experts in sales and distribution, social media, communications, and so much more. We will quiz each of our esteemed guests at the end of each episode to solidify the lessons that we've learned. So sharpen your pencils, get out your notebooks, and join us each week to learn more about the US market. Hello, welcome to Masterclass US Wine Market. I'm here today at Vin Italy, recording live in the studio at Wine to Digital, which is very exciting. And I'm very excited to have with me Luis Raineri on the Italian Wine Podcast. Welcome to the show, Luis. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. It's my third Vin Italy, and as you can imagine, there's a lot to see, a lot to taste, and definitely great people to meet and know.
Always, of course. Luis is the co-owner of The Grove Cucina and Wine, which is in Hobie Sound, Florida, in between Miami and Orlando. He's also an advanced sommelier, an Italian wine professional, and a wine educator. Luis, how did you get so interested in Italian wine? Tell us a bit about your background.
Yes, so I was born in Cuba, grew up in New York, and then Miami, and went to school in Boston, studied hospitality management, and through the restaurants, I started to get to know wines with friends and what have you, and I really fell in love with it. And then while working in Las Vegas and Bellagio, I started to study for the Master Sommelier Diploma. And at the time, I thought, well, gosh, there's no Cuban-born, American-raised Master Sommelier, so that'll be a class, and hopefully I can get back to one day and teach Cubans who don't get access to North American wines about what we do. And although I didn't pass the exam, I passed theory and service.
That's still impressive.
Still have it, I know, yes. And then I got a chance to work the Harvest in Burgundy with Louis Jadot, and then in Rhine Hessen with Fritz Hasselbach, who has since passed, but two of my favorite varietals. It took an 8-month, 18,000 mile self-sponsored sabbatical with my wife Jen and our son Makani, who was 8 months old at the time. So it really just deepened my love for the technical aspects and just traveling, and how food and wine is really about fun, fellowship, and creating these memories. And so when we bought the restaurant 5 years ago, being an Italian theme, I just wanted to deepen my education for Italian wines, and then I took the Italian wine professional course.
Okay.
And then I'm studying for the Italian wine scholar.
Exciting. So a lifelong student, it sounds like, of wine. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And where did you go on that 8-month sabbatical?
Oh my gosh, just about circumnavigated. You start in Madrid and just draw a line down to Jerez, crossed over to Gibraltar, back, circumnavigated all of Spain, Portugal, and then we actually rented we bought a Volvo with the overseas program and just drove that baby all
around.
Picked it up on Bastille Day in Paris, drove to Champagne, Loire, just the same thing with France, and then Italy. Spent a few weeks, a month really, in Tuscany, and then Barolo.
With an 8-month old, so that's impressive. That's amazing.
Yeah,
wow, good
wine,
for you.
Needless to say.
Yeah, I mean, he was raised in it, right?
Yeah, back in the day when there was a thing called AAA map, that's what we used, and we highlighted all those routes. And so we had a framed professor in our restaurant that stands at the entrance.
Oh, I love that.
That's really the genesis of travel, food, fun, exploration.
So. What a great story. That's fantastic. So, Luis, we're very excited to have you on the show today, and it's great to be here in person with you at Vin Italy. And we're going to focus on the opportunity with the Latino consumer for Italian wine, specifically in the U.S. market. It's a topic that we've discussed before on the podcast and here at Wine to Wine, but I think it's a topic we should continually come back to because it's an important one and it's an evolving conversation. But some of our takeaways for today's episode and what we really want to learn from you are, number one, what are some of the opportunities with the Latino market for Italian wine in the U.S.? What market specifically? Which wines do you think have opportunity? Number two, how as an Italian winemaker, winery, might you think about reaching this market and reaching new audiences with Italian wine? And then finally, things are changing constantly in our world, as we know. So what's next with this consumer and how is this population evolving and changing, in the U.S.? So, for starters, let's just talk a little bit more generally about the Latin consumer in the U.S., some of the key markets and some of kind of the key trends of the population.
Sure. So, obviously, my state of Florida is a big one. And we have Texas and California, even New York. And so not only are they large in terms of Hispanic base, but also wine consumption, right?
Right.
So the top five. So you have that nice bridge right there. We have 63 million Hispanics right now, which is 20% of the population, and it's expected to reach over 100 million in 2050. So,
wow.
Not only is
20% of the population in the U.S.
Right, so think about it. And
one in five consumers.
Right.
I like to repeat numbers because it's important.
Yes, we're growing fast. We're growing
fast.
I mean, I myself was born in Cuba, like I said, and so this is an interesting sector. I think that Italian producers can pay attention to because I think culturally we have a lot of overlying values as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of folks that are bilingual, either Spanish and Italian speaking of us first. I've already seen that here this week in Venitaly. We work along with Italian and Spanglish, so to speak,
exactly,
to understand each other. So there's no barrier there, I think,
mm-hmm,
just culturally. The other thing we have in common is we're very family oriented. I think, you know,
yes,
it's always about a big celebration.
Yes,
you come to my house, you have a coffee, you have a crocadica, a cafecito,
right,
whatever. And I think Italians are like that too. In fact, my paternal side is from Campania, so my mother's side is Spanish. Yeah, the other thing I was going to say that the U.S. population grew by 24 million in 2010 to 22, and that's 53% increase.
Wow.
So not only is the base expanding, but it's expanding quickly.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely
a large GDP.
The largest GDP.
Larger than Germany and India.
Wow.
So there's a lot of potential there, and we like to spend money. This is translated to about $3.4 trillion of purchasing power.
That's amazing.
So the second point, I think, is how do we connect? Well, I think presence,
mm-hmm,
you know, the more we can expose things like Venitaly in Chicago or programs in Miami with Italian Trade Agency, which I try to get to as much as possible. I think we not only need to increase that,
right,
in these major states, but also other cities, for example.
For sure.
We all focus a lot on South Florida, but perhaps in Orlando, where maybe some folks from all throughout the state.
Not to mention the West Coast. I mean, right? I was living in California for a while. It's a huge population out there. Denver,
I mean, Texas. You know, you have great sommeliers in all these markets. And
right,
I'm sure they all love Italian wines. And
yeah,
so Italians just in general, or
right,
sorry, Americans in general, are, you know, ordering more Italian wine than ever. Over 30%, I believe, of our imports are Italian wines. So
right,
now you have, again, another bridge, another building
right
point of
absolutely
interest between Americans and Hispanics, mm-hmm, and a growing base and a growing population.
For sure.
Education, as much as we can give to the consumer, I think,
okay,
would be a key step,
yeah,
in increasing our awareness. And also probably some other interesting regions that we haven't really explored in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe down south. Last two summers ago, I had a chance to drive from Campania. We covered 5 regions down there, drove off of Basilicata, Calabria,
amazing,
Sicily, and back to Puglia. And it was a great discovery for me.
Okay.
But all these wonderful regions outside of central and northern Italy have so much diversity in terms of food,
right,
and wine. I think that story needs to be told.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for you, just, you know, based on your own experience, you mentioned the Bellagio. So obviously you were in a very Italian-centric restaurant, I imagine. But what for you really connected you to Italian wine specifically? Like, what really resonated with you when you were learning about wine, about Italy specifically?
Yes, so I was a lead sommelier for Le Cirque in Circo, Macioni family wines, restaurants, and we were very strong and deep in France, Italy, Spain, and California.
Okay.
And what I really loved about Italian wines is that, to me, at least my experience, was wines that were older than 5 and then into the 8th year really changed so much,
yes,
esoterically, you know, in terms of the tertiary flavors coming in with the fruit. And they're so provocative and sexy, really.
Yeah.
I just felt like, wow, what else is there that tastes like XYZ? And there was a gentleman who was a player, poker player there,
okay,
and he drank a lot of Dal Forno.
Nice.
And he was very generous and would leave half a bottle for us to taste the sommeliers.
Very generous.
So when you start breaking it, you know, your teeth, so to speak, on Dal Forno, it's hard to stay away.
Hard to top that.
And so the more I was able to come to Italy or just taste through different vendors or trade programs, the more I get fascinated. I mean, you know, there's 600 grapes in Italy, and you know, how many do we really see in the U.S.? So
exactly,
there's a lot of work to be done, and that, I think, is what's exciting about learning about Italian wines.
Right.
I love how diverse they are. You know, from one region to the next.
Yeah.
I love how they pair with food. All the sparkling wines, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sangiovese and Nebbiolo, two of my favorites.
Okay.
But then you go to Sicily and you're like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Mamma mia. And it's an up-and-coming region, right? You go to Mount Etna and it's like, wow, this is exciting.
You're on a volcano, literally. I know. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, owning a restaurant, for me, it's about the tactile.
Right.
And acidity experience. And we have monthly winemaker dinners.
Very cool. Yeah. I was going to ask you, how do you, you know, you're obviously a wine geek and you love studying wine, but let's think about, you know, maybe one of your consumers, your customers at the restaurant who's more of an average just drinker who likes to enjoy wine but isn't so geeky about it. How do we reach that consumer when it comes to Italian wine?
Yeah, okay, so that's a great question. So I've had a lot of guests that when we started 5 years ago, they really didn't even know where or what Barolo was, for example.
Right.
And then little by little, you know, you introduce maybe dolcetto with pizza, that it's fruity and fun and lively and not very expensive. In case they don't like it, they don't think like, oh my gosh, this guy.
They wasted just a couple $100 for the bottle.
And it's like, it wasn't so good. But then the next time they come in, you say, okay, and this is usually what I like to do with our guests. It's like, okay, so we started in Northern Italy, so then we go to Central Italy, then we go to Southern Italy.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And then we maybe change the scheme, you know, the fruit flavors from maybe we do Osobuco with Barolo or Sangiovese, Brunello. And then next time we do something seafood from Sicily with those wines. And so that's one way that we've been able to educate our consumer. And then we have a monthly wine club.
Cool.
We feature two wines, a white and a red, every month.
Awesome.
And then we do wine classes. And most of it is centered on Italian wines. We diversify a little bit, but we've had like Federica Zeni. She was in to do a wine maker dinner last January. And then from Sicily, we stayed in Baglio di Pianeto. So we did the brand launch at our restaurant. And again, it's awareness.
Awesome.
And I'd say awareness and application, education application. So when we do the tastings on the first part of the month, it's really about education for tasting six wines, and then in the back half of the month we do it through applications, so there's food and wine, because as you know, it changes the dynamics. And I think that's when Italian wines really take off, is like seeing how it changes.
And I love your example of maybe starting someone off with dolcetto and pizza, a food that is very familiar and comfortable and that they know, and a wine style that is maybe more approachable both in flavor profile but also price. I think that's important to think about too, before maybe introducing to other varietals as well. So I think, you know, those are some great points for our listeners in terms of how to introduce your wines to new consumers in the U.S. market.
Yeah, and you have to gain the consumer's trust, right?
Yeah.
So over 5 years, that's what we've been able to do. And it's nice to see when they get a little discovery, a little bit of Erga or something, like, what is this, you know? And Nacha Nero that I tasted the other day at the tasting down in Miami.
Right.
So we talked to them about bringing in their wines, because I'm going to focus on
wines. Oh, exciting. Congratulations. That's the next adventure.
Yeah, we've already met a few nice folks from Friuli, and then this morning from Lasona.
Awesome.
Like, how many folks know where Lasona is, right?
Yep. Probably not very many.
It's hard to educate.
Yeah.
But yet many know Barolo, and they know Nebbiolo. They
don't know Nebbiolo. But they didn't always know Barolo Nebbiolo in the U.S. market either. I think it's important to remember some of the categories that we consider mainstays in the U.S. weren't always, right? We know who was drinking Prosecco 30 years ago,
right?
Now it's the only wine category that has shown some growth in the U.S. market at all is Prosecco in the last 12 months. So, you know, we have to look to what categories can become with investment and education. And I think what I'm also taking away from what you're saying, Luis, is you've really created within your restaurant this whole platform of education from your own experience, having come to Italy and explored the regions and tasted the wines and worked at some great restaurants in Las Vegas. So I think it's also really important for our listeners to understand, you know, the first line of defense is the trade, right? You have to get ambassadors like yourselves really to fall in love with Italy, which isn't hard to do, but then give them more and more information, knowledge, and nurture those relationships so that you can then take what you know and pass it along to the consumers in your market.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a long journey. I always say that we're the conductor of this experience, and we start at some point, and then we evolve depending on what the guest or consumer wants to do, you know, go north or different food or different price points or a collection of wines.
Yeah.
I had a gentleman the other day who came in and was asking for my set, which
we're
open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9. And so for someone to come into our little town and say, Alexis Massetto, well,
that's exciting.
I was like, okay, that's really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but our town is growing, and this is the consumer that we're getting. So we get the dolcetto, we get the Massetto.
Right. And Florida, we did an episode about 6 months ago about Florida just in general and the consumption growth there, but also the population growth in the last few years, especially since COVID. I mean, can talk to us a little bit about what you've seen and your experience, you know, living
absolutely.
In Florida.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I grew up as a kid in Florida since 76, and I saw Miami Beach go through the whole Art Deco decade,
cool.
and then Fort Lauderdale with the spring break, and things have changed in those tri-county, which is Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Palm Beach. And so now we have this growth in my county, Martin County. I have the largest wine list, over 350 wines
wow.
in my county, and probably 200 are Italian wines because of my dedication and mission to getting Italian wines. And actually, Cigar Aficionado had a cover out for Mark Wahlberg in December.
Mm-hmm.
And in the top right, the caption read, Hope Sound Next Golf Mecca.
Oh,
so
wow,
I
cool.
think there's some credence there to the fact that our town is growing and there's, you know, land and inventory where there's a lot of investment right now.
Right.
You know, the locals might tell you, oh, doing traffic and I can't get to the store. But as a business owner, you
Great.
Know, I'm excited about that. There's a lot of golf communities that are coming down there, too.
Golf communities. Okay.
So we see that coming in. And, yeah, our population's probably going to grow. It's probably going to double again
yeah.
in the next 3 to 5 years.
Quickly. Do you think there's an opportunity, like, just thinking about lifestyle, right, within the golf community to integrate Italian wine?
Italian Wine Podcast, part of the Mama Jumbo Shrimp family.
Most definitely. Mm. I have a lot of friends that run clubs, and I've sold wine professionally for 15 years before coming to the ownership of a restaurant side.
Okay.
And I did a lot of work with the clubs. And even within that sector, there's a lot of changeover. Some folks that are, let's just say, a traditional palate, I've, you know, certain background,
right.
life experience, and this is what I used to drink from, let's say, California. And,
yep.
and that's their mindset. But then the next generation, their kids and even their children's children, are a little bit more adventurous.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I think the window of opportunity comes in, that us as trade
yes.
members and sales folks and educators can come in and have these seminars. I mean, the clubs are a beautiful venue to have a wine dinner or wine
Absolutely.
Tasting. And we have plenty of them in Florida. So
yeah.
that's another opportunity I would suggest to our Italian friends out there listening. When you do come to Florida, ask your wholesalers to set you up with tastings or dinners at these wine clubs.
Also, private clubs,
yes,
golf clubs.
Yes,
yeah.
absolutely. And you know what? That community wants this information. They want
yeah.
to taste these.
Yeah, so I think something you said there, come to the market if you're not already, right? Spend time investing in the market. Focus on key opportunities where your distributor might be strong or there might be places like clubs where you can have more of that one-on-one experience with a consumer and leave them with a lasting impression of your wines.
And I might also say one thing that I just thought about it when I was selling wine. I was looking to sell some very nice, prestigious
mm-hmm.
wines. Is sometimes the smaller markets get overlooked. Because
yeah, great point.
When we go to market, so to speak, and we want to go to the high-dense communities,
mm-hmm.
all the buyers, etc., that's where a lot of the focus comes. But my experience was also equally rewarding when you went to those secondary and tertiary markets where they don't see a lot of these wines.
Yeah.
And the outcome is usually, these are, of course, Italian wines. Fantastic.
When yeah.
it's a Prosecco by the glass or something for the wine list or wine dinner, I think that would be another goal that I would encourage our
right.
Italian friends out there to seek those markets that don't see a lot of time.
And some less competition, too. I mean, if you think about New York, they're getting everything from Grand Cru, you know, Premier Cru, French wines, champagne, you know, to the best Italian wines, but not just that, also the best wines from California and all the other regions of the world. So, like you said, Luis, like going to some of the smaller markets and creating some ambassadors, some local ambassadors, it sounds like you're really creating a whole community and hub and Hope Sound, and you know, there's opportunities just like that in other markets too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I would just say out there that if anybody's coming to Florida and would like to do a wine dinner with us, the Grove
yeah.
Pacino Wine,
great.
Please give us a call. You can find me on the internet, of course, through Juliana, and we'd love to help you expose what you do and tell the story. There's so many beautiful wines that haven't been seen out there, personally and professionally.
Yeah.
So you only help me do my job better as a researcher and a student of the subject matter.
Yeah.
So please come in and do a wine dinner with us or at least a tasting. I have a thing that first time we came to Italy in 08,
okay.
and if you haven't done this yet as a non-Italian traveler, you come to Italy in August, you hear of one thing, Fetta d'Agosto.
Oh, yes, of course.
And then all of a sudden it's like, why is everybody closed? Fetta d'Agosto. So I'm on a campaign to have a Fetta d'Agosto in our community.
I am for that.
In
that sounds
community.
Great. We all need a little vacation and everyone shut down at once. Sounds
yes,
like a great
come
idea.
Yes, see us in Florida. It's right before the season, at least for Florida, our market, you know, it's seasonal, so
yeah.
to speak, on the southeast and west coast. And that's when buyers tend to start to right through Wineless. And if you're for doing a little block party out of New York,
Style. Yeah.
Right? Why not?
That sounds great.
We try to make wine fun.
Right. I think that's important. Make it fun. So, Luis, it's been so much fun talking to you here today.
Thank
and as
you,
we
likewise.
Wind down, we'll do our rapid fire 3-question quiz of sorts. So, number one, what is your number one tip for mastering the U.S. wine market?
Be open to speak to anyone who has an interest in learning about Italian wines. Nobody knows everything, and so just be genuine. Present to your wines, because Italy, not only wine in general, Italy can be intimidating.
Yeah, that's really great advice. Italy can be intimidating, so don't assume the knowledge of your consumer, of your customer. Make sure that you're being generous with your information.
Tell the story.
I think that's great. Absolutely. What's something you might have told your younger professional self about selling wine in the U.S.?
Well, always make sure you check all the wines. I was at a wine dinner once where I relied on the sommelier at a yacht club.
Okay.
And they said everything was great, and I was there with ownership, and it happened to be Pinot Noir, and it was not good. It was
not okay. Uh-oh.
So I test every wine all the
test
time.
Test every wine.
Young folks out there, you know, every event, just do it yourself.
Be detail-oriented. Yep, absolutely. And then finally, we all travel a lot. Sounds like you've traveled quite a bit. Now we're here traveling at Vinitaly. What's your number one of your favorite travel hacks?
Well, I'm kind of particular about the bathroom. I just get in there and I set everything real neat and everything so that if I happen to stay out late, which I don't, in the morning, everything's nice and tidy so that you don't miss the bus wherever you go.
Everything's organized.
It's domestically or here, so I just have my little travel habits.
Awesome. Very cool. Luis, how can our listeners connect with you and maybe set up one of those potential wine dinners?
Thank you so much for asking. Well, my email address is L. REYNERI at iCloud.com.
Great.
And that's the best way. You can also visit us at www.thegrovehobesound.com, THEGROVE. And if you're in the neighborhood, give us a call. We'd love to get to know you and taste your wines.
Thanks, Luis. Thanks
Thank
for being
for
here
having
today.
Us.
Of course.
Pleasure.
Thank you for joining me today. Stay tuned each week for new episodes of Masterclass US Wine Market with me, Juliana Colangelo. And remember, if you enjoyed today's show, hit the like and follow buttons wherever you get your podcasts.